Welcome to PageCast, the podcast by Jonathan Ball Publishers that brings books to life. This festive season, we're stepping into the world of bookstagrammers to uncover the stories behind the stories. Bookstagram is a community of book lovers on social media that share their love for all types of reads. Whether you're searching for the perfect gift or your next great read, we've got you covered. Let's dive into the world of words and wonders.
My name is Mia. I run the page It's Literary. So I mostly read historical fiction, literary fiction, and classics and that sort of thing. So my top five of the year are all historical fiction. So that says a lot about me. I'm going to go from number five to number one because I'm in the mood to be a bit dramatic about it. My fifth favorite book of 2024 was The Wartime Book Club by Kate Thompson. And it's so much fun. It's literally exactly in the name. It's a wartime book club. It's in the middle of wartime. People are very depressed. They are closing the libraries and a bunch of people get together and read books. And it's just such a powerful thing to read about because I can relate to it. It's lovely. I think all of us find a lot of comfort in the books that we read. The fourth favorite actually isn't historical fiction. I lied. The fourth favorite was Blue Sisters by Coco Melores. I'm sure someone else here has read it. It's quite popular. And I enjoyed it so much because I read her first book and I was kind of curious to see if the second one lives up to the hype. You know, I was wondering how do you go from such a popular debut or first one to the second one. And, you know, I think it's a lot of pressure, but I really enjoyed it. I think actually I enjoyed it more than the first one. So that was my fourth favorite here. Has anyone else read that book?
I also, I listened to the audiobook of Blue Sisters. It was one of the book clubs of mine, pick of the month. And yeah, it was very interesting. A lot of complex characters, not usually my normal genre of reading, but it was a very insightful book. The sister dynamics intrigued me a lot, so it was very good.
Yes, I agree. I think the whole thing is sort of situated in the characters because it's about these four sisters, but it was also very dark, so I completely understand why it's not like somebody's normal or everyday read. It dealt with a lot of deep issues.
No, definitely. I think we can agree that the cover is probably the most beautiful cover I've seen this year. It's just, yeah, I think I bought the physical copy afterwards just for the cover of the book. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I have to agree. I love the painting style. I think they use the same artist because they actually approached an artist to do the covers for the first book and this one. So I think that it's such a great feel. And how do you think that the cover really works with the book?
I have the one with just the one woman's face, but I also saw there was one with all four of the sisters on it.
Yes. I also saw, I think that's probably an international version, the one with the four sisters, if I am speaking under correction, but I also only saw in South Africa the one with the one picture, but both are stunning.
Yes, it just works. So my third favorite one was The Instrumentalist by Harriet Constable. I think that one's pretty recent. And I'm not sure if anybody else here has read it. If you have, please interrupt me. I'm just going to speak about it because I love it so much.
Hi, Mia. Yeah, I've actually read the Instrumentalist myself. For me, it was more of what attracted me to the book was more the dark academia vibes, which is more my style. Historical fiction is not always what I read, but I have to say the way the story was told, was it just pulled me in immediately, and it kind of felt like I was in the era. I was listening to the orchestra. So yeah, I actually really enjoyed that one.
Yes, and my favorite thing that happens when I read books like this is because it's based on a real place and, you know, real circumstances, I always find myself sort of in the middle of the story, having to go and Google a few things to see if that actually happened. You know, like in this one, it says that the orphanage, the girls in the orphanage helped Antonio Vivaldi write some of his, like the Four Seasons, helped him compose the Four Seasons. And I was so intrigued. I thought, is this real? How do they know this? You know, what's happening? So that's the fun in it. You know, it's very interactive for me in that way. But it did make me hate Antonio Vivaldi. I don't know why, but the character in this book was just so unlikable.
I was actually about to ask you if I was the only one who got a little bit of grooming vibes from the teacher. I was just like, this guy's giving me the creeps. Can we just
move on? No, he's very creepy. Yes. And also like the way that he struggles to walk fast, and just the whole way he's characterized is very villainy. So that was really interesting for me. I enjoyed it a lot. Is that also on your top five list, or did it not make the cut?
It unfortunately did not make my cut because, like I said, I'm more of a fantasy dark academia reader. So most of my books are actually dark academia or fantasy.
Okay, fair enough. Well, okay, so my second favorite was The London Bookshop Affair. And it's so interesting because I got this one as a gift as part of the Blind Date with a Book campaign at the beginning of the year. So I had no idea that it was coming. I had no idea what it was about. I just signed up to get a blind date with a book. And it turned out to be my second favorite book of the whole year. So that's really something. I loved it so much. Again, it's about books and the power of literature in wartime. So I obviously have a theme that I love. This one is a bit darker, I would say, than the Wartime Book Club, if that's possible. They're all really, I mean, it's set in wartime, so it's quite depressing. But this one's really interesting. It also looks at romance. It's mostly like strong female characters, politics, familial drama also, you know, with, I'm not going to spoil anything, but it was really, really good. I could not put it down. It was so much fun. And just the fact that it was a surprise, I think, made it all the more fun. So I can definitely recommend that one. I had a lot of fun reading it. But my number one book for the whole year actually wasn't published in 2024. It was published in 2022. But I read it this year, and I think it just changed so much inside of me, how I look at things, my outlook. But anyway, okay. So my number one book of the year was Mad Woman by Louisa Chego. And it was so phenomenal. It's also a true story, historical fiction. That's me. But it's about this journalist, Nellie Bly. It's from a really long time ago. So she's a female journalist, and she tries to prove herself in her very male-dominated field by pretending to be insane so that she can go to an insane asylum, which isn't really the PG term for it anymore, right? But it was back then. So she pretends to go mad and go to the insane asylum so that she can report on what happens there. It's this prison-like place on an island. So the people outside of it don't really know what's happening inside. They don't know if the reports are true or how these women are being treated in the facility. So she goes in sort of undercover to write about what it's like. She did way too good a job, and people really thought that she was mad. I think especially in that time, if you were a woman, it wasn't that hard for people to believe that you were mad, right? So she sort of gets stuck there. It's just so gripping. It feels like you're right there with her in this institution, trying to prove to people that you are sane. And if you can't tell by how much I'm speaking about this, I really love this book. I had so much fun, although it's a very, very dark topic.
Thank you so much, Mia. Yeah, I've heard great things about Mad Woman. Louisa actually came out with a new book this year called The Paris Muse, which I think you'd also enjoy. Obviously, not just because it's from Louisa, but it has a different aspect. It follows Pablo Picasso's painting muse and kind of her story and how she's been sort of neglected in all the stories about him. And this sort of brings to light her story and makes her, you know, really shine. So if you're into that, I would definitely recommend it.
That sounds sort of like The Instrumentalist, because that's exactly also what Harriet do there, to show that these girls in the orphanage actually had a really, really big role to play in some of Vivaldi's biggest works. So, okay, cool. That literally combines two of my top favorite books. So thank you so much. I'm definitely going to go check it out.
Yeah, definitely should. And I think those are some really great like historical fiction recommendations. I feel like sometimes when you talk to people about historical fiction, they always think about historical war fiction, you know, always about like World War II or something. So I think having the discussion around, you know, whether it's like in the form of artists or in the Ouiza Mad Women's case, you know, being about a woman who gets institutionalized and stuff. So I think that's really great. And I really also enjoyed your recommendations of Blue Sisters as well. I think that's a great one, especially for a more modern audience or people who like to read more modern fiction. So thank you so much. The next one on our list is Caitlin. Are you ready?
So I'm Caitlin from Reading with Darlings. And my top five is I'm very influenced by BookTok and Bookstagram. So I will read very much the popular books that are going around, which I think I need to steer more towards books that are, how can I put it? Sorry, that was just my son almost coming into the room. I need to try and steer towards more local authors and more small authors, if you know what I mean. Also, if I'm a bit jittery, I'm a little nervous. I don't talk often. Books are my safe space. Anyway, my top five. One that really stood out to me is Yours Truly by Abby Jimenez. And I think it's because of I love doctors and medicine. So I really enjoyed reading that take, but also in the romance aspect. It was very scary going into that book, knowing when I got to Abby Jimenez's character, her brother had kidney failure, which was it almost put me off of the book, because my brother passed away from kidney failure. So that was very difficult to kind of read. And I was worried about the outcome because I didn't want to associate it too much with the book. But the way that they really brought light into that disease and how awful it is, but the beautiful outcome of that book, not only with the characters, but their love and how he sacrificed pretty much so much in his life to donate a kidney to her brother just to make her at ease, because she was really struggling with the thoughts of losing her brother and looking after him. So that was it was a very gripping, quick read, but the story just really gripped my heart. And I think that's my number one book of the year. And then also another one, which I think everyone has read or is diving into lately, is the ACOTAR series. I've only read the three out of the five. And the A Court of Mist and Fury, oh, wow. If I could read that again, if I was, for some reason, had amnesia and I could read that again, I would be happy, because that book, honestly, chapter 54, the way Rhysand the way he tells Pharaoh everything. Like that TikTok trend is, if I could be anyone, dead or alive, I'd be Pharaoh in chapter 55. Diving out of ACOTAR, since I've only read the first three, I really enjoyed the third one, but I feel like the action kind of dragged a bit too much. I wanted more of the story of the characters, but it was really good. So I think A Court of Frost and Starlight will definitely make up for that before diving into the heaviness of Silver Flame.
On the ACOTAR topic, Caitlin, I have to ask, who's your favorite bad boy?
Ooh, that is so difficult. I love Rhysand. I think because he's the, obviously the main character. But Ezreal, there's so much more to him. And I feel like we don't get enough. Obviously, his story has been spoken, but not as much as I would like. But I think if I had to rate them on a scale, it would be, why did you do this to me now? That is so hard. It is. Okay, Rhysand top. I love Rhysand from ACOTAR, and then Rhys Larson from Twisted Games. So I think it's just Ivor Rees thing. So it'll be Rees and Cassian and Asriel. I think Cassian and Asriel are kind of on the same scale. They're so different that you cannot really bar them against each other. Okay, Leaving Akatar Behind, another book that absolutely wrecked my soul. I was sobbing. So I was reading in the room and I just put my baby down for bed. So I thought, okay, let me finish this book. And it took me, I think, 3 days to read the book because I only read in between being a mom. So I read when my baby is napping or if she's gone to bed. Anyway, so I started The Last Letter by Rebecca Yarros. And that book is still haunting me to this day. I don't know if any of you have read it, but I think you really need to mentally prepare for yourselves if you have not read this book and you are wanting to read it. It is aching, heartbreakingly beautiful. Okay, it follows. So a woman and a man, but she is a mother to twins. She writes to her brother that is in the army, and her brother says, hey, why don't you start writing to my friend? He doesn't have any family, and I think he could really use someone to talk to, and I think you could also use someone else to talk to. So they start writing back and forth towards each other, and something happens on the mother's side that rocks her world to the core, and she thinks that something has happened to this person that she's writing about, but it hasn't. And he's keeping a big secret from her. I honestly want to say so much about this book, but I don't want to ruin it for anyone that hasn't read it. It takes you on this huge emotional roller coaster throughout the whole book, and then you are so happy at one point because of everything that they have gone through is finally coming out in the sunrise and there's rainbows. And then the storm comes back and it's a full-on hurricane and you're sobbing your heart out and you're angry at the author. How could she even write this after everything that characters have been through? And you literally want to get on a plane to the author just to go and slap her across the face. I was so emotionally hurt, but in such a beautiful way. It's such a good book. Definitely look up the trigger warnings if you haven't read it, because situates around, like, there is some cancer involved, so if you're triggered by medical stuff like that, grief, and full descriptions of all medical anything, and also there is a passing, so there is a death if you're triggered by something like that. But the way she wrote about it, the plot twist, also just, she has such a way to grip you into her books, and that just wrecked my soul. I'm a very big mood reader as well and very influenced by BookTok and Bookstagram. So whatever is trending, if there's an author trending, I'll jump onto them immediately. I read Never Lie by Freida McFadden, and I've become a huge Freida McFadden fan. I think her writing, if I feel myself diving into a reading slump, I will grab one of her books and it's done in under 24 hours. This book, I literally could not put down. I gave my baby to my husband and I said, okay, I need to finish. Can I just read this? There was plot twist beyond plot twist. I honestly cannot get over what was said and done in this book. And literally, you will think you have figured everything out to the T, and she'll completely throw you off of the boat. And you will not know how to swim because you cannot fathom what has just happened. It was a brilliant book. Another one, so my top four, I think it can be kind of like a tie, because I'm busy reading Iron Flame with Jonathan Ball during the read-along, and I read Fourth Wing, I read Fourth Wing last month, and I'm on Iron Flame this month. That's my top four. So I think that the world building has been excellent, and the story between Violet and Zayden and the rest of the characters, also the plot twist, I won't give anything away if no one has read it yet. Just, I did not expect anything at the end of Fourth Wing. My mind was shook and I'm terrified for what is going to happen. I'm so scared. My sister-in-law has read it and she says that my brain is about to explode, because I got her to do the read along as well with me. And she says, my brain is going to explode at the end of Iron Flame. So I'm not ready for that. I'm very scared because I know that once I am done with Iron Flame, I have to wait for Onyx Storm, and it's going to be the longest wait between books. So I'm definitely going to have to get a really good book to read in between. My top five is very emotional, I think, from what I can see on my list, because I read The Thousand Boy Kisses by Tilly Cole. I think when I'm feeling really in my feelings, I like to dive into books that are either going to break my heart or completely throw me in this whirlwind of plot twists. And A Thousand Boy Kisses did a little bit of both. I think it was a beautiful story. It's about two teenagers who fall in love. They are around 5 years old when they meet, and they grow up together, and he is so obsessed with her and she is so obsessed with him. He's from, I think it's from Iceland, and he calls her Poppyman. It's the sweetest nickname, but her name is Poppy and he calls her Poppyman, which means you are my Poppy. And it was so sweet. Their love story was so beautiful. And then it was just honestly ripped away. His parents had to move and they were both heartbroken because they obviously had to move to another country and they could not be together. And they both absolutely hated that. And something happened in between to where they could not, where she honestly stopped communicating with him via phone calls, letters, anything. And he was so angry at her because she just cut him out. And he eventually came back and he wanted answers, like, why did you cut me out? And she didn't want to give anything. And she was actually diagnosed with a illness. Their love story picks up again and he's with her through all the difficulties that they both face together. And the end comes along. Sadly, something heartbreaking happens. But then in the epilogue, I was so angry because I did not feel like his character deserved what had happened to either of them, only for it to end up like that. I think there needs to be more of a redemption. And I know in The Thousand Broken Pieces, I think it's kind of, he pops back into that book. So it might kind of be like it is in the same universe, but in the same timeline. So I feel like you could buddy read them to get the perspective of the main character female in the first book, as well as her sister in the second book, if that makes sense. But without me yapping even more and not making sense, that's my top five.
Thank you so much, Caitlin. Sure, you definitely have some emotional reads there, from fantasy books to some contemporary, some really great recs. I definitely think, yeah, like ACOTAR is always a good one to jump into if you're starting romantasy, just based on like how easy it is to read. And yeah, thank you so much. We're going to jump to Yana. Take it away.
Really lovely being here, and thank you for inviting me. I'm Yana. I run the page Read with Yana, and I think I am similar to Tris in the way that I also read a vast majority of different genres. So I think I started with romance, then moved into thrillers, mysteries, a bit of general fiction, fantasy, and then also romantasy. So my top five are definitely all over the place. I don't think I can rank them as Mia did, but yeah, I will just talk about each one. I think a lot of you may have read some of them because, they are quite popular books. So I think I'm going to start with my favorite historical fiction of the year. So this was kind of the first historical fiction that I read, and it was a book club pick, and it's called Costanza by Rachel Blackmore. I highly recommend it. I'll expand a bit on that now. Costanza is set in 17th century Rome, and it's based on a true story. I did not know that going into the historical fiction. I don't really like reading the blurbs on the back of the books because it gives too much away sometimes. So I just went in blind. But yeah, it's basically set in 17th century Rome. It follows this sculptor called Lorenzo Bernini, and he falls in love with this woman, Costanza Piccolomini, but she's a married woman. So that's kind of, it was very
taboo. And yeah, so it's set in that time frame where women didn't really have many rights. So yeah, it takes us on a roller coaster and it ends in betrayal. I'm not going to lie to you. At the end of the book, I was very furious with where this story took me. It was definitely an emotional read and an insightful read, as it was quite true to that time. And Rachel Blackmore, she did a lot of research in writing this book, and we could see that because, yeah, she depicted everything quite accurately. But if you like historical fiction, I highly recommend Costanza. I think I talked to our last book club meetup with a few of the other people that were there, and they said also that they were very mad, but it was a 4 or a 5 star read. So yeah, that's the first one. The second one was Everything I Know About Love by Dolly Alderton. I'm not a big memoir reader, but this one really intrigued me. The reason why that was one of my top reads, her writing was very relatable and it explored a lot of different type of friendships and romantic relationships, self-love, personal growth, the different cultural and social commentary in the dating world. And yeah, so that was quite interesting for me. It gave me an appreciation for female friendships, or actually just good friendships in general, but it did make me appreciate my female friends a lot more. I think since getting into a relationship this year, I know romantic love now, and I am very happy in that sense. But it made me miss like that key friendships you had when you were in high school or at university, and just a different type of intimacy that you can have in a friendship versus a romantic relationship. So that was quite interesting. But yeah, I highly recommend that book as well. I've heard a lot of great things about her other books too, so maybe I'll read one of them next. But yeah, so Everything I Know About Love would be my second one. Then the next one is The Serpent of the Winds and the Night by Carissa Broadbent. I think this is a romanticy, but I think it leans more towards just a pure fantasy. I won't say it had that great of a romance element to it. So basically, The Serpent of the Winds and the Night is almost like Hunger Games, but the fantasy world building was very good. I enjoyed that a lot. And it was the first book I've read about vampires, I think, ever. So that was also very interesting. So yeah, I think if you've watched or read Hunger Games, it kind of follows the same plot. Yeah, I just loved everything about that book. It's part of the Crowns of Nexia series, I believe. The last two, I think I'm going to leave. Yo, these two are tied for number one spot, I believe. So the one book is not a book that I read for the first time this year. It's a book that I reread almost every year, and I haven't been able to find another mystery thriller like this. So it's the Mind F series by ST Abbey. I read it on my Kindle the first time in 2022. But if you are fans of Criminal Minds, yeah, you definitely can read this. So basically it follows a couple. So we have a serial killer. This sounds very dramatic, but we have a serial killer, but she is on her revenge spree. And I'd say her revenge killings are justified. But then we have the serial killer, and her boyfriend is an FBI agent. So they meet, this is not a spoiler, but they meet, they fall in love. He is hunting that serial killer, but he doesn't know that it is her. But yeah, it's very intriguing. It's 5 books. Very short. Every one of them is about 100 to 120 pages, but definitely worth a read. I read it in one sitting, and until this day, I reread it every year, and I haven't found another book that made me feel like this. So if you like thrillers, I definitely recommend that one. My last pick is Magnolia Park's Into the Dark. I am in love with this world and these characters. It basically, if you take Gossip Girl
make it a little bit more toxic and put it in London. So yeah, the characters are extremely flawed. They are far from perfect, but it makes them feel more real. It follows a group of friends, extremely wealthy friends in London, and it actually deals with a lot of topics. It deals with found family, grief, mental illness, therapy, family dynamics, forgiveness between romantic partners, parents, etc. But if I can say something about Magnolia Park series, it is that it's by Jennifer Hastings, and I've never read another author that writes like her. She literally, it feels as if you live in the minds of these characters. You feel their feelings. Your heart breaks when their heart breaks. It's really, I have never been on such an emotional roller coaster as I've been with the Magnolia Park series. But basically, I highly, highly recommend. You'll probably, when you finish the first book in the series, want to throw your book against a wall and not continue the series. But I promise you, it is so much worth it. And yeah, at this point, I've got 3 editions of the book. And yeah, I cannot recommend this book enough, or books. It's quite a long series. But yeah, thank you for giving me the opportunity to share my favorite reads from the year.
Thank you so much, Yana, and thank you so much for your recs. Some really great ones on there. I think a little bit of something for everyone. I know Constanza has been a big one for a lot of readers recently. I've been seeing nonstop chats about it. And obviously Magnolia Parks is quite infamous at this point, as you said, for being very Gossip Girl-like and giving you that nostalgia feeling. I've also heard it's quite messy. So,
yeah, no difference in messy.
Yeah. But thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to hand over to Timmy.
So my name's Timmy. My Instagram name is Timmy's Reading App. And I read a lot of different kinds of books, a lot of fantasy, a lot of epic fantasy, sci-fi, lit fic, and horror. So I've got a bag of different kind of vibes going on here. But I, unlike everybody else, cannot pick between my children. So I'm just going to rant off in no particular order the books that I really enjoyed this year. And I'm going to start off with a graphic novel called If You'll Have Me. And fans of Heartstopper will really like this one because it's Heartstopper aged up and make it sapphic. And the way this book has like a grip on me, I have reread it multiple times and it's my screensaver for my phone. So I really, really liked it. And I love the representation and I love the overall story. It has my heart. And then the next book I'll be speaking about is Gideon the Ninth. This book is very confusing and it's on vibes alone. Like if you're trying to understand the plot, you will not understand the plot. That's besides the point. But the vibe of this book is basically a lesbian necromancer explores a haunted gothic palace in space. And so we have a necromancer and her swordswoman, and they just try to figure out the unfigurable outer, if that is not a word, but it should be, because this book is like notoriously extremely complicated. And I've read it twice now and I still don't know what's going on, but it's a hoot. The next book I'm going to recommend is actually one that I got from Jonathan Bull, and it is Love Letters to a Serial Killer. And I got this book because I thought it was, I don't know, a romance. I don't know why I thought it was a romance. It's not a romance. It's basically about this extremely unhinged but oddly relatable woman that starts writing love letters to a serial killer, believe it or not. And she, it's like starts as like telling him that like he's like not a nice person and that he doesn't deserve anything nice in life as one does. And then she slowly but surely starts falling in love with him. And then she starts attending his court hearings. And it's kind of like sheds light on like the fetishization of serial killers and like how we as a society kind of like we put them on a pedestal when actually we shouldn't be doing that. And I don't know, I found this book extremely relatable, extremely funny, and extremely concerning. And that's the exact kind of books that I like. This is my fourth book. Yes. My fourth book is Ophelia After All. It is a YA novel. I wouldn't say it's a romance because it's not only about romance, and it's basically just about a teenage girl finding herself. And it's like a coming of age story about like who you thought you were and who you find yourself to be, and like the longing you feel for like being younger. And I found it very touching and very relatable, and it made me cry on several occasions. So it has to be, it has to go on my list. And then last but not least, I have to put Samantha Shannon's A Day of Fallen Night, because the achievement it is reading any Samantha Shannon book, particularly, you know, Priory of the Orange Tree and A Day of Fallen Night, if you know how chunky these books are, like, I feel I have to put it in my work CV, because the amount of dedication is that of a marathon. And I am of the opinion that A Day of Fallen Night is better than Priory of the Orange Tree, which is wild considering I love Priory of the Orange Tree. But I love this book, and it's just the in-depth history that Samantha Shannon like writes about and creates is just the most vastly beautiful thing. Like, I don't know how she wrote a book that has such an in-depth history. She had to write another 1,000-odd page book just to explain the history itself. And I can respect that. Anyway, those are my top five.
Thank you so much, Timmy. I think for me, like, I have had my eye on Gideon the Ninth for so long, because as you said, it's like lesbian necromancers in space, and that's what like everyone sells it as. And I'm like, that sounds so cool. And I think also based off of what other people have said about how it's just vibes. You won't know what's going on. And the second and the third book, you still don't know what's going on, but they're all just such vibes and they must reads. And then our last but not least, Rochelle.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I'm Rochelle, or Shelley, and I run the Instagram page Books to Shelley. And I do a lot. I read a lot of fantasy, a lot of dark academia, sometimes a bit of thrillers. I'm the dark and twisty reader, if that makes sense. Basically, if it has fangs or wings, I'll probably love it. And I would grab it. So some of my friends call me a book witch. I actually have a sticker on my phone, book witch. So that's just my vibe. And I will be jumping straight into my recs. I did not categorize them 1 to 5 or 5 to 1. I cannot pick. These are all either 4.5 or 5-star reads for me for this year. So my first one is Crimson Moth by Kristin Cieli, I think, if I'm pronouncing the surname correctly. This was actually a BookTok Instagram, Bookstagram influence for me. I absolutely adored this book. The suspense with the witch falling in love with the witch hunter and vice versa. And just it's a very gothic vibe. I absolutely adored the world building, the character building. And I can't wait to get my hands on the second book. Then my second one on my top five is When the Moon Hatched by Sarah A. Parker. Honestly, I read the blurb saying that involved dragons, and I was like, okay, sold. It ticks the wings box, let's go. And this book just, it had me shocked. It had me in tears. The feels that Sarah just has with this book, honestly, if you love anything dragon related, dragon mythology, dragons as a creature, as a whole, dragon riders, you have to pick up this book. It's just honestly one of my favorite reads of the year. My third one is actually a duology, a completed duology. It's the Shepherd King by Rachel Gillig. And honestly, the magic system in this world, that's what pulled me in from the get-go, was the magic system being just absolutely amazing. The magic system's based on tarot cards. So again, ticking that dark and twisty vibes. The feels of the book is again very gothic, very dark academia. And just the storytelling is absolutely amazing. And then my number four, again, two books that I'm going to talk about in one would be that it is Empire of the Vampire and Empire of the Damned by Jay Kristoff. And then my last one is also a series as a whole. I devoured these after my husband begged me probably for more than 2 years to pick these up. And that is Mistborn, the First Era by Brandon Sanderson, which is a three-book trilogy. Again, you have politics, you have amazing magic system, very scientific magic system, actually. You have, in the first book, you overthrow the big bad, and then you find out, oh, the big bad's not actually the big bad. There's a bigger bad out there. So if you like high fantasy, anything Sanderson puts his name to, pick it up, read it. He is an absolutely amazing author. Probably one of my favorite authors out there. He just pulls you in, and there are quite a few books of his that's still on my TBR that I need to get to. My next one will probably be The Way of Kings would be my next one that I'll be grabbing from Sanderson. And then Tress of the Emerald Sea is also on my TBR. There are so many Sandersons on my TBR that I can probably talk for hours just about Sanderson's books. And yeah, those were my top five, maybe more than five, because I threw a few of series in there. But that was me. And sorry if I spoke very quickly, but I get very passionate about my books.
It's no problem. I'm sure those are some really great fantasy recs. I think I've probably read most of the ones you've recommended now. Brandy Sanity is always everywhere. He's taken TikTok over. What's it saying? He's taken TikTok by storm. And I swear every two videos I watch on TikTok, it's him. And he's just so charismatic, and he's just a writing machine. And most of his books at the moment are falling under the Cosmere universe, and that's what The Mistborn is under. So you've got a lot of reading ahead of you, just by the way. And they don't get shorter, by the way. They just get longer. And I agree with Empire the Vampire. This is definitely not your typical vampire story, at least not in the modern sense. It's a lot more gruesome and kind of gory.
Dracula vibes.
Yes. And if anyone's ever watched the Castlevania, I think it is, the animated series on Netflix, it gives me that vibe.
Love Castlevania.
I wanted to say it sounds so a lot like Interview with a Vampire.
Yes. Very much. Kristoff definitely took inspiration from Stoker as well as Anne Rice. Definitely took inspiration from those two for the Empire series. Sure.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, thank you guys so much for joining today. I hope that maybe you added some books to your TBR, the never ending one. If not, then I hope you enjoyed the conversation. And thank you again. And I will let you guys know when the episode is available. I will share the link through with all of you guys, so you can go ahead and listen. If you guys want to make any content regarding the books that you've recommended and tag Jonathan Ball and just mention the PageCast episode when it's live, then you're more than welcome to. But obviously you're not required, but it would be great. But yeah, thank you again.
That's a wrap on this episode of PageCast, brought to you by Jonathan Ball Publishers. A huge thank you to the Bookstagrammers for sharing their insights and festive recommendations. Remember, there's no better gift than the gift of a good book. So head to your local bookstore and discover something magical this festive season. Don't forget to subscribe to PageCast for more conversations about books that shape our lives. Until next time, happy reading and happy holidays.